It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey everybody, welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champions on Baxter Street. My name is Roddy Nabulsi. I'll be your host for the next hour. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting director at UGASports.com, and then some guy on the end that kind of wandered in off the street. We decided to let him be on the show. Some of you may know him as Jim Donnan.
A kindly old man.
A kindly old man who knows more about football than Jake and I could ever hope to.
I was playing bingo over at the library.
He won, and so his reward was to be on UGA Sports Live. So, this is a podcast sponsored by UGASports.com, where we work. You should check it out. It's only 27 cents a day. We have a lot of information there. Funny, we had a lot of information a week ago and 2 weeks ago that Kirby Smart he confirmed last night. So if you want to be in the know about all things UGA, check out UGASports.com. We are live from Champy's on Baxter Street, the best place to get fried chicken, one of the best places to get catfish. On Wednesdays, you're going to come by here tomorrow and get their soul food plate. And what's all on that plate?
You got collards, you got mac and cheese, and then the cornbread, which I think
jalapeno
is
cornbread.
Outstanding.
So I've been bugging Josh to get us some out here today. He doesn't have it today. Again, it's a Wednesday thing, but the jalapeno cornbread is phenomenal. And, of course, Coach Donnan, for him, that soul food plate starts and ends with collards.
That's right.
He's right. So what did you say about people who don't like collards?
I'm not sure what I said. It wasn't good.
It was not complimentary.
No, I mean, there's people that don't like collards, you know, but
I think you said they weren't from the South or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, there's people that don't like grits, too, but,
Yeah, I'm one of those. I also want to thank 11 Alive for letting us be on their page. If you were watching this instead of listening to it, then you were on the 11 Alive page right now. They have a story up about Arthur Blank that you need to check out. So be sure to jump
What's
on that.
What's that about?
Well, you have to read it, Coach.
All right, I will. What's it on the website?
It is on their website. I'll tweet out a link here in a second after I ask Coach Donnan a question, because we got some freshmen coming in. We have some roster issues we need to talk about.
Who's in, who's out.
Who's in, who's out. Before we get started, I want to say a big shout-out to Athens Ford. Thank you guys so much for being our biggest sponsor. And I don't know if you've seen this Raptor, but if you get a chance, go out and check out the Ford Raptor. It is a phenomenal truck. I'm jonesing for that. I've decided that's the one I want. Can't afford it yet, but that's the one I want. Thanks to YourPie for being a big sponsor of the show. If you're not getting fried chicken, you're not swinging out to Academia and getting a beer out there, go to YourPie and get a fantastic pizza or sandwich. Big shout out to Cable East and Robert Wall. Thank you so much. And 365 Game Day. If you need your Georgia gear, check it out. And today, what have we got down there?
Grilled chicken salad. Keep that girdlish figure.
Here's the thing that's good about Champy's. Josh works it out where, you know, people like fried chicken and everything, but all of a sudden, the wives are in some kind of deal where they're just going to work out and they want to meet him at Champy's. They got a really good grilled chicken salad here for them to keep that weight off, man. Look good in their uniform. Look good in their leotard.
Look good in your Rivals polo shirt. I'll tell you, that is a fantastic salad, and I'm pretty sure they had it with the sweet heat, right?
Absolutely. Sweet heat and the ranch dressing.
Which they make here.
Yeah. Mix them up.
So, anyway, I'm going to jump right into the who's in and who's out on the Georgia football team. And yesterday we had our own Anthony Dasher. He was down in Columbus, Georgia. Kirby Smart and Tom Crean were talking to the Columbus Bulldog Club, which I've been there before. Great club. Good folks down there. They had me speak last year. One of the best times I've ever had speaking to a club. They, of course, they showed out for Kirby, which was fantastic. But before that, Kirby talked to the media for a minute, and two of the questions that popped up were, three issues. One, we knew that Mark Webb was injured, but he said Mark Webb is fine now. So that's huge, because you've mentioned countless times how big it is to have Mark Webb as a cornerback.
Well,
he came in as a wide receiver. So.
Yeah, just interject that real quick when he's okay. From a standpoint, you know, we made the point we had heard that he had been carted off the field, and we were worried about a really significant knee injury, and it wasn't as bad as they first thought. And, you know, anytime you have any kind of surgery, it's a difficult situation. But the way that it's from what I understand, you know, it was just a routine cleanup type deal, and he's going to be fine. And the fact that he's running already means that he's ready to go. And that's usually the case, you know, with a slight knee, unless you have it.
Well, here's the thing. We had the same thing. He had a meniscus issue. I had a meniscus injury. I had a surgery and was on crutches forever, and I'm still – limping around.
We thought we were gonna
he's already
you,
running.
We thought we were going to send you to the glue factory, man. I mean, that was.
Yeah, they're talking amputation. This guy has one, what, 3-4 weeks ago, has surgery, he's already running. I'm like, how the hell?
Yeah, that's good. They really do a great job over there. Ron Corson and his staff, just cutting edge on the rehab. And that all adds up to a significant program. When I think I've read on your site where somebody said we hadn't had many injuries, and hopefully we'll continue that. But part of it's a really good off-season program, weight training and all that. And then the way Kirby structures the practices, you know, they really, you know, have optimum times that they really work hard. But they have room for rest around the between practices and all that. So all of it's all in the projections. But I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that Webb,
that's the Webb part
to me, though. A corner is so significant, but also you really need the way you have a star guy come inside and play the slot. You got to have somebody there too, which he could do that if we needed him. And Campbell is as good as we hope he's going to be as a new guy coming in. But that's a big hope, you know, to play as a true freshman. But our athleticism in the secondary is really significant now compared to 2 years ago, I think. Not as much experience, maybe, but really good athletes. Wouldn't you agree with that, Jake?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really the key thing is you're going to have to rely a little bit more on those natural abilities this year than guys who are out there and just have the repetition of going through the games and going through all the practices. These guys are going to have to lean early on instincts and, like you said, superior athleticism in order to lead
plus
this unit.
Plus superior coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not going to hurt anybody.
Nobody in America, pro or college, is going to get any better work in the secondary than with our situation there with our coordinator and head coach. And now we have Tyson Summers, who's a really good analyst that helps them in the meeting rooms and all too. So they're getting really superior coaching.
Well, I think it's safe to say when you're relying on those instincts, like you say, you lost 54 starts, you know, in Dominic Sanders.
Yeah.
And I think 40-something with – or not – 38 or so – or high number with Aaron Davis.
Malcolm Parrish had a pretty significant contribution.
So, but to your point, though, when you look at Richard LeCount back there and a guy like, say, Tyson Campbell and Mark Webb, physically these guys are different.
Yes.
You know, and as Coach, you said, you know, from an athleticism standpoint, they are a big step up. And I'm not taking shots at the other guys. I mean, it's just we call it what it is. You know, we're not going to sugarcoat it. My fear, though, or I would say my excitement, though, is they have a chance to work into the season. You're not starting off with Notre Dame game two. You know, I like the fact that they, by the end of those 29 practices, these guys will know what their jobs are. But I like the fact that you're not starting off like in years past with a Clemson
week one. Well, we might
have
our second toughest conference game, the second game, though.
Really?
South Carolina.
You think they're going to be that much better?
When you say that of all our conference games, they got to be, with Auburn being one, toss up for South Carolina. And,
I was thinking Auburn, LSU, and then maybe.
LSU's going to be better now with this Burroughs kid coming in there, that's for sure. Yeah. He's a quality quarterback.
And I don't take anything away from South Carolina. They're going to be good, but it's not playing Notre Dame in week two.
Well, look at last year's who played us better than anybody in the conference, South Carolina.
That's a good point. They seem to always have Georgia's number, but. Mark Webb, getting him healthy and out there running. And this is the first time I've had an injury where I can point to a Georgia player and kind of do a comparison. And the fact that he's actually running just makes me sick. I now hate Mark Webb.
Yeah,
well, we didn't have anybody chomping at the bit trying to get you to do anything except beat champies in rehab.
True.
You know?
Well, but my wife wanted me to cut the grass. So.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, but I got a 14-year-old son now.
Yeah,
you
going to cut the grass with a bad knee?
She wanted it. No, but she actually does it. She does all the work around the house. You know me. I'm sitting around eating champions. So the other thing that came out of Kirby Smart's talk was, well, first, you know, Mark Webb was fine. I see you knocking back that Academia beer there.
Absolutely.
Shout out to Academia. Second thing came out, we asked him about D'Angelo Gibbs. And D'Angelo Gibbs is back in school. We reported that. And a lot of people just assumed that automatically meant that he was back on the team. You know, and I said, whoa, wait a minute. That's not what I'm hearing from my sources. I'm hearing that, yeah, he's back in school, but that does not confer the fact that you're on the team. I mean, you look at some of the guys who have taken medical red shirts. They're in school, but they're not a member of the team. And Kirby confirmed that he was not, at this point, back on the team, and he said that a decision would be made down the road. I don't know that it's a decision that's ever going to come out. I think that he's getting – my thought was he's getting his credits so that he can transfer somewhere else. What are you hearing?
I think it's all conjecture. Anytime you got a disciplinary situation or an injury situation or an academic situation, that's, you know, a private deal between the player and the coach. And unless it's just a situation where the guy is immediately dismissed or comes out on Twitter and says he's doing something like that. But I think Kirby handled it well. What he said, you know, was, hey, let's don't rush the judgment. People saying hopefully he's back. You know, I'll just have to wait and see, just like the rest of us. But I'd be surprised right now, you know, if anything monumental happened there. I mean, at this point, there's just not enough tea leaves to read to say that he's going to be back or he's not going to be back. We'll just have to see that. That's part of the process when you're the coach and the player. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there. But and then he mentioned about Long, you know, had a surgery too, and then a little bit of cleanup, and that's going to be interesting to see. We've talked about the punting situation, which if you look at last year's team, that was really a big turnaround for us. We're going to have at least something comparable to that to have this, you know, necessitate the same kind of field position we had last year. So hopefully the competition with this kid coming in from Murray and the freshman and Long will have a good punter.
I think with D'Angelo, it's too early to take anything off the table.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you know, fair. I think that we're at a point where, look, you know, what's the goings on of why he's been absent have not been public. That's for everyone to speculate as they will. However, I mean, let's take a look at the Natrez Patrick situation or Jonathan Ledbetter or, you know, even Chauncey Rivers got several chances right as soon as the staff arrived. Yep. So, you know, I think that no matter what it is with D'Angelo, I think it's way too early to render judgment. If he's here, he's hanging around, he's working out with the guys, he's staying, you know, he's staying with those guys. I think that there is at least room for it. For something down the line. Whether or not it will happen, I don't know, but I do think that it's possible.
And there's the other thing that's up in the air is who knows what the university policies are involving any athlete now compared to what we used to know very vividly what they were, but there's some new policies there. So who knows? I'm not speaking about D'Angelo. I don't really know what he's involved with or wasn't, but I'm just saying I'm adding that to the mix things that could be out there. Well, Kirby is involved in looking at whatever the athlete is. You got to go by the structure of the school too.
Yeah, you have the
and UGA, that's what helped us on Patrick a little bit. Wasn't it?
Exactly. I was about to point out that the UGA student athlete handbook for 2017 would require Natrez Patrick gone, and from what my sources told me, D'Angelo Gibbs gone. There'd be no question about them coming back. But and shout out to 11 Alive Sports, and this is the reason why you guys got to follow them. 11 Alive, they actually got the updated version of a new student handbook that came out last year, and that was not public knowledge, and they got a hold of it, and they were able to share it. And I like this idea, and I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, well, you're just doing this to take care of football players, but remember, it applies to all the student athletes, and it does give it does allow for some give and take in there. In other words, your athletic director, who can make multi-million dollar decisions, you know, when it comes to just about anything, before had his hands tied, same with the coach, whether or not a kid was arrested, whether or not he's found guilty or not, just the arrest counted as a failed drug test, which I thought, that's not fair. What if the kid's unfairly arrested? And we saw that in Natrez's situation where somebody else is arrested and there's a piece of pot smaller than a penny in the car, you know, that belonged to somebody else, but Natrez gets arrested and, you know, for that he's kicked off the team.
Yeah,
they built in a little give and take.
That's great, and I think if you just look at the structure that Natrez has been under this whole semester with the thumb down on him, it really has been very vivid to me that he's reacted to it extremely well. And, it's going to help him the rest of his life to have that opportunity, you know, that he got, which was within the rules that we have, you know. And I'm not asking for him to change the rules or do anything for any kid, but if a rule is a rule, let's apply it, whether it's for us or against us, you know.
Yeah, well, no, you're right. But at the same time, painting everything is so purely black and white without an appellate process. When you can't appeal based on new information that comes to light, then it's a ridiculous concept. So the new concept, you know, the rules are still the same when it comes to guys failing drug tests, guys getting arrests, but at least at the end of the situation, at the end of the chances, if you will, there is an opportunity for the athletic director, you know, coaches and such, to step in and say, you know, we want to try this. And it comes out to, yes, Natress Patrick will help Georgia football. There's no two ways about
it.
But at the same time, Georgia football is going to help Natress Patrick, as coach says. I mean, and I look at guys who have gone off to, you know, who failed out, gone off to community colleges, you know, and you never hear from them again. Natress has a chance to get his degree, stay on track, help Georgia. Georgia helps him. But I think it's big on Natress.
All right. Interesting question here to piggyback off of that. Jason Kennebrew comes in. He said, speaking of which, do you guys really think Natress is going to be the leader, going to be a leader of the defense this year? I'm not so sure he's the best inside linebacker anymore.
No, I mean, I get it. It's a fair question. I just think that right now he's your best inside linebacker.
Well, we're just going to have to see how these new guys react, how some of the guys in between last year's upperclassmen and the freshmen, how they're going to develop. You know, it's definitely a valid question.
Yeah.
But the thing about it with our show here and with all these questions, which are great, you know, everybody's got an opinion about it, and there's some good opinions. And, you know, just because we say
and
it,
there's
mine.
Mean,
but I think it's just the bottom line is the talent base is there to have good competition. And the thing I always felt about a good defensive team is looking beside you and seeing a player that has the ability to do his job.
Yeah.
And you're not having to go out there and be Ben Hur, you know, and be the guy all by yourself. To just, you know, obviously you wouldn't be by yourself, but a lot of good players are great players because of the guys that are playing with them. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? So I think our first 11 and the backups are going to intertwine and make it a good unit. Plus the scheme we have and the ability to adjust and the, you know, I was reading some stuff about adjustments and all that, but our defense has come such a long way in theory and philosophy because of the hurry up that it used to be. You couldn't run, but so many things on defense on the hurry up because you couldn't get lined up and you're worried about being misaligned. But we have the capabilities now of, hey, they come out in this and they want to run quick. We're going to go to this right now. Our kids know what to do, and we're going to be in the best possible opportunity to stop that. Just because they're in a hurry doesn't mean they're going to make us, you know,
catch you out of position.
So
right.
We got a good hurry up package on defense.
We got a couple guys here.
We got a great hurry up package.
Really? I did not know that.
Ab Harding.
We got a super hurry up package.
Ab Harding and Dylan Brooks checking in here. Ab says, hot take, Quay Walker will unseat a starting middle linebacker. That is a very hot take. And Dylan Brooks says, Channing Tindall will find a way to stay on the field. He
I like
stays
both
low
those
and strikes
guys.
Hard.
I mean, that's what I was just saying. Hey, these young guys are look good on the hoof, got leadership ability, were very highly recruited, and it's just going to be a case there, though. It's like a quarterback, you know, coming in and making the calls, getting the team lined up. You know, hey, Monty Rice might be that guy. Who knows? But there's a certain innate ability to that the players kind of gravitate to, knowing that you're going to get them where they need to be. You know, I mean, it's a good security blanket there.
Well, that's why I was thinking.
But I like both those guys, too. Who said that?
That was Ab Harding and Dylan Brooks.
Well, those are five-star questions.
There you go.
Good job, guys. And I wasn't dismissive of the question.
One before it was a five-star.
Yeah.
Hey, we don't want anything but five-star here today because this is a conference game. We really got a conference game here today, and we don't want any of those horse manure questions.
Then I won't ask what I was about to ask.
No, go ahead. You're five star.
No, the reason
not
I was
not a five star knee, but a five star. Yeah.
Well, that's what held me back. That's why I'm under recruited.
Yeah, they're sleeping on
the
you, coach.
Exactly. Yeah. Hashtag blessed. Now, the reason I was kind of laughed at that question was because I go back to what we're talking about, the secondary, the guys with the number of snaps at the inside linebacker position. It was Roquan, Natrez, Monty. You know, then the other guys have none. So it's just very limited. That's why I'm like, to me, is he going to be a leader? Is he going to be the guy right now? I'm like, he has to be because, I'm fine with freshmen in certain spots. I worry about a freshman trying to get everybody lined up. Now, Monty Rice could do it, but, again, he doesn't have a ton of experience. So, to me, right now, you know, games 1, 2, 3, and 4, I see Natrez Patrick out there helping run this defense, you know.
You know, but a lot of times, and I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but I think
– Well, you know it better than I do.
Sometimes, though, you can have a consummate leader that knows the front and the coverage and can do all that stuff, but sometimes you have to rely maybe a little bit on a guy on the back end to take care of those guys, you know, with those calls, and another guy with the front seven more, you know. So it just depends. So
J.R. Reed could knock that out for
it
you?
It just depends on, you know, who's back there. But I think it's we don't want to give up the flexibility that I just talked about because we have inexperience calling the plays, you know what I mean? So it's very critical that we're able to run five or six different coverages off a different look or run all these different angles and zone blitzes and all that. So, but it doesn't do you any good if you can't get them called. You know what I mean? a coach always said this, a coach, you can't teach a kid everything you know, but what you got to be able to transpose to him is enough where he can actuate everything that's possible within the framework of your system there.
That was that's some hellacious coach speak right there. Transpose to actuate framework. I like that. I got to give
him. The guy looks at you. Hey, coach, is that when I said that one day? I'll say, hit him with your inside forearm. He said, is that the right one or the left one?
Chris,
so I wasn't telling him to actuate.
Chris Metcalf says, hey, if experience was everything, we wouldn't have made it to the moon.
That's a very good point.
I like it.
Hey, great point. You wouldn't want a kamikaze pilot that'd flown 40 missions. Yeah. can't get the job.
Now, a lot of people, we did not make it to our third point, but it is time definitely to jump into this because a lot of people have questions about it. And that was Kirby Smart's comments last night about Stetson Bennett and his standing with the team. Kirby Smart said, hey, we hope he's going to be with us. We're not sure that's going to be the case. We've heard that he's looking elsewhere. You know, your thoughts, Coach, first off on that. Talk about that situation. I mean, what's it like to try to keep a guy around like that who's in a situation like Stetson where, you know, he's behind two really talented guys? Will he get a shot? Who knows? But how important is a guy like that to your team?
Well, he's critical because of, you know, we got two scholarship quarterbacks and we got two new guys coming in that I've seen on tape that are both pretty good. But I've spent a wealth of time on this young man, you know, with the training and learning the system and doing everything that you got to do to teach a quarterback. And he's very capable of going in and running the club. I mean, I say that unequivocally. I mean, people that question that, they question me on it. But I promise you, he's definitely a guy that could win in the SEC at a high level. I feel very confident that he could do that with the surrounding cast that's here. But you also got to look at what's best for the kid. Maybe looking down the barrel of two guys like he's got in front of him, and, you know, regardless if he was here or anyplace else, you got to look him in the eye and say, hey, we want you and we'd like to keep you. But, you know, you got to give him a shot at looking around. I think he's very much perplexed from what I understand about wanting to be here. He loves Georgia. You know, his parents went here. He's doing well in school. But at the same time, he wants to play. He's a competitor. He's a winner. And this doesn't look like a big opportunities there for him at this point, being as completely candid as you can be about it. I mean, but anybody saying, hey, why are we getting so fired up about losing a walk-on quarterback? I mean, to me, I would be concerned about going into the season with just two quarterbacks anywhere you are. But
to that point, I point this out all the time. going into Nick Chubb's freshman season, he was the number four running back on your depth chart. You had Todd Gurley get suspended, Keith Marshall gets injured, Sony Michel gets injured, and then you're going into Missouri with a guy who's never carried the ball.
Yeah.
He winds up getting it 38 times, you know. And
Same thing against Arkansas, too. Right?
Yeah, and yeah, then, well, right before that Arkansas game, they were saying, well, you can't hitch your wagon to Nick Chubb. Poor Desmond Howard, he wound up beating those words. And, you know, he came back and said, hey, I was wrong.
Is that what Desmond Howard said?
He said it right before that game.
He's from Michigan.
and Nick ran all over. But to my point being, yeah, I doubt you're going to see a situation where somebody gets suspended. But, I mean, we were 8 plays into last season, and you were already on your second quarterback.
Exactly.
And it wasn't until that same starting quarterback, Jacob Eason, was healthy again that Jim Chaney felt comfortable running his freshman quarterback. It wasn't weeks later at Tennessee, all of a sudden, you know, Eason was ready. We had reported that Eason is taking snaps. He's throwing. He could play today if he needed to. And they started Jake Fromm, and sure enough, knowing they had a second quarterback, all of a sudden we started seeing those zone reads and those RPOs and a young Jake Fromm taking it into the end zone and running the ball. Again, if I'm an offensive coordinator and coach, you can speak to this. You did it. If you know that you only have one quarterback, are you going to let him run it? I just don't see that happening. So I'd rather have 3-4 quarterbacks, and because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Unique situation here, too, as Matt Todman points out. He says, hey, Georgia isn't the only team going through this. Clemson now has lost several of their quarterbacks.
You realize that in the 2016 class I sent you, or 15 class, I sent you a deal. 8 five-star quarterbacks, 5 of them have transferred.
Yeah.
And and that one kid, Ricky, whatever his name was from
Ricky Town?
Ricky Towns. Has a situation, too, that he's been around, too. So there's a lot of I can't blame Johnson for leaving.
No.
I mean, I told Roddy over here one day when they were talking about Trevor, I said, Trevor Lawrence, I said, hey, there's going to be a lot of people at Clemson's parents going to be mad, you know, when that guy shows up.
No doubt.
Same thing here, you know, with Justin coming in here now. I mean, it makes it hard to recruit a quarterback looking down the road, you know what I mean? So, but – again, I've been involved with the quarterbacks leaving. You know, I had to tell Troy Aikman, you need to leave, Troy. We're not going to switch back to the pro offense. We're going to stay with it. It was a hard thing to do. I mean, then we lost 4 quarterbacks in one spring here.
What?
With Quincy Carter. You know,
I remember.
We lost Ussery. We lost Hibble, who ended up going to plan for Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl. We lost Daniel Cobb, who started for Auburn. We lost John England. Hey, shout out to John England, a good quarterback for me. Just was named the COO of the Haynes Corporation, a flooring company up in that has an office there in up in North Georgia there at Dalton. And it makes you feel good to see your kids do that well. I mean, that's pretty impressive that this guy's going to be the head of that company. And John just, you know, it was going into his senior year and just decided, hey, it's not worth it to play anymore. And then Mike Ussery, who's been in here to champions a lot, you know, transferred to South Florida. So that was what I'm saying is you got one quarterback left, and then the next year, you know, we play with Quincy, and Quincy gets hurt, and we got to decide whether we're going to play Green or not, and we didn't. But the point is those situations can happen.
Yeah. That's my point. And we've had people say, well, we have had that question. Why are you so focused on a walk-on quarterback, you know, who's 6 foot?
This guy's not a walk-on.
This is.
I would say they put him on scholarship if he stays.
I think, too, also, if you want to know how this team feels about him, you need to go see some of the tweets that the team put out last night. Malik Herring retweeted your story, quote tweeted it, and said, people don't understand how much this guy has helped us. They don't understand, like, we need to keep this guy. I mean, they're openly lobbying to keep this guy as a part of the team.
Yeah, when your defensive guys are doing it, that means something.
Well, they got respect for him. They know what he – it's hard to be a scout team quarterback, first of all, because the line that's blocking those guys are not exactly the greatest in the world. I mean, sometimes you have some red shirt guys that are good, but – it's very difficult when the defensive coaches are getting on the guys that knock them around and everything. So you're going to get hit. I know my freshman year I was a quarterback. I was held back, you know, redshirted then. And I had to play Joe Namath and all these guys. We played Alabama every night. When I went back to the dorm, I was completely pelted, man. I mean, because all these guys coming in there, and they didn't. Fortunately, I had one coach that took a little, helped me out a little bit and told them to hold off. But, you know, they're telling those guys, get to the quarterback, do all that. But I promise you, it's hard to sack this guy. I was standing there with Kirk Herbstreit at the practice before the before they got ready to play Alabama, and he was talking about how good that Mayfield looked, you know, at quarterback, watching him practice. But then he said he went over to watch Georgia practice, and he watched this kid playing, running Oklahoma's plays. He said you wouldn't know that there was a lot of difference. Now, I'm not saying he's Mayfield, but I'm saying that's a pretty nice tribute from Kirk Herbstreit, who watched them both.
Absolutely.
Well, I can give you this. I want to talk about academia in just a second because I'm really enjoying this academia beer here.
You are too, right?
Yes, sir. I think more so.
They didn't fill yours up. Right?
his has a hole in it.
Yeah.
2 years ago, I guess basically before the Fromm versus Eason debate was settled on the field, it'd be last year. I was talking to someone who goes to every – I put this in a Georgia 3-2-1. That's one of the things we have at UGA Sports. It's a 3 observations, 2 questions, 1 prediction. And I wrote about Stetson Bennett. You know, why would you write about a backup quarterback? Well, that's because somebody who goes to practice every day, he's at every practice, told me, he said, Roddy, I've been watching Fromm, I've been watching Eason, and if this were my football team, my starter would be Stetson Bennett. Now, granted –
I would have said that.
A lot of people kind of roll their eyes, but I'm like, look, the guy, he knows I'm going to give him grief about it. I'd never quote him and say who it was, but this is a guy who loved Stetson Bennett's game, raved about him, said the players call him Johnny Football. Before the Rose Bowl, we did a couple features because the first time we got to talk to him about how he was pretending to be Baker Mayfield. And I actually tweeted out, if Georgia wins this game, a lot of the credit needs to go to Stetson Bennett because he's running their plays. He's going to run them very close to the effectiveness that Baker Mayfield has. And we saw that in the second half of that game. So,
we've got that cleared up.
Yeah, so but my point being, it's a big decision that has yet to come down. If Georgia loses him, then I think the entire Bulldog Nation should wish him well wherever he goes. But if he stays, there needs to be appreciation. And I think that appreciation needs to show itself in the form of a scholarship. Is that fair?
Fair enough. Fair enough. I think so.
Real quick, I want to talk to you about academia. This week, if you go out there on Thursday night, now remember, on Monday nights, they have their half-off wings. They always have their great food. But on Thursday night, the Athens Area Stormwater is hosting their 2018 Roll Out the Barrels event. It's beginning at 6 o'clock. You can come out, enjoy complimentary appetizers while they last. Meet the artist who painted all those rain barrels. And you can bid on one to take home. So swing out to Academia at 6 o'clock. They're going to have live music from the Hot Fire String Band. That kicks off at 7. And all the proceeds from the Rain Barrel Auction go back to the Athens Green School program. So swing out by Academia. The food is phenomenal. The beer is great. I'm enjoying this Kolsch. You are really, really enjoying that IQ IPA.
There's nothing like a noon beer.
I got a very varied food menu, too. I took my grandson graduated this weekend from Oconee, and they had some of my family from Oklahoma was in here, so we had a big crowd. So we went out there, and a lot of different varying people in that crowd as far as what they like to eat, and we were able to satisfy all of them with different things we had. Had a little bit of everything on the menu. I tell you what, they had some great appetizers, too. I mean, those egg rolls with were outstanding. I didn't get to me on that little lazy suit that I was hoping. I tried to grab one on the first, but I finally got one at the end. But then cheese curds, everything. They got good menu, man.
Yeah, and they're gonna have free appetizers this Thursday at 6 o'clock. So
I'd get there early.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then of course, it's actually
got it down. You know when to get there.
We know when to show up. So big shout out to them. Also, while we're talking sponsor, before we get to some of his questions there, big shout out to Europie. Those folks take great care of us. They will take care of you. They have over 50 locations. You need to swing out by Europie. Trust me, I had somebody hit me up the other day. They said, look, I tried it for the first time in Roswell. and they said, I will be back again and again. You walk in, you basically pick your dough, you pick what you want to put on top of your pizza, they make it in front of you if you want more or less. They don't do this whole thing about, oh, well, you know, every topping's another $1.50. You basically order your pizza, put whatever toppings you want on it. They throw it in an oven that's right behind them. You see them cook it. They bring it to your table. By the time you've sat down and got your napkins, it's practically – I mean, you don't have a long wait. It's so quick, you know. And that's always been one of my take. There's a chain of there's a pizza joint chain out there that's kind of has a hippie theme. I won't name them. But I don't go there anymore because it takes me forever to eat.
Yeah.
I do not like to wait when I'm out to eat. Sometimes I don't have the time. But this place is fast. So if you think, if I go to Europe, I'm going to have to sit down for, this will be 30, 45 minutes. No, it's quick. You're in and out. If you got a 30-minute lunch, you can definitely eat a Europe, and you will have something custom-made for you right on the spot, the exact way you want it. So it is phenomenal. So swing by Europe if you're not in the mood for.
They get you an Academia beer while you're there.
That they carry you can. Them. And they also carry a bunch of the others, you know.
Yeah, all the locals,
I mean,
pretty
all the locals
much are
guys. So that's – I like – That's a big part of.
You got the beer down, don't you?
Well, just saying, Academia and Europie both take care. They work with the other brewers. So, I mean, if you're in the Athens or Atlanta area, they're going to take care of you when it comes not only
to
beer,
put your stuff out
but
there.
It's just great community involvement. You know, you feel good about sponsoring, you know, being a patron.
So,
patron
dog
of those guys.
Fans just back them
exactly, and not only that. Those are both created by dog fans. You know, the founders are dog people. So,
all right, we got a bunch of questions rolling in. That's here. People want to talk recruiting, so we'll hop in on a couple of those.
Hey, who knows anything about that?
Yeah,
it's that time of
Kamal Oz says, if Georgia's unable to bring in Darnell Wright and or Xavier Truss, who's next up on deck? Slim pickings of elite offensive tackles this cycle. I would say not just this cycle, every cycle. I mean, those guys are – as
rare.
Coveted, I mean, yeah, they're right there in terms of you got your defensive tackles, I think, and then it goes offensive tackles right behind them as far as the rarity of those
but
guys.
But haven't we in the last 2 years brought in the number one Isaiah Wilson, then Mays, and then Salyer? I mean,
right, exactly.
Like,
and it's a situation.
And all three of these are freshmen.
And it's a situation too where, you know, I think that people are beginning to wonder. Someone actually even asked earlier. They said, "Is Georgia going to be able to maintain the recruiting momentum that they've built the last 2 years?" It is.
What was that? Is that a rhetorical question?
I think that. And this is
what
just,
is it that Sam Pittman always says? Say it like he does. Roddy.
Yes, sir.
So that's the answer. Are they going to be able to keep it? Yes, sir.
I think so as well. But, you know, there are – I mean, the reality of the situation is there are guys out there who want opportunities to play early. Georgia, at this point, at the offensive tackle spot, hey, it doesn't look like the most appealing thing you've ever seen. You know, it's like the quarterback spot in a lot of ways. So
unless you're Darnell Wright, you know, unless you're just a guy like
sure.
like Fromm was 2 years ago, like Fields was last year,
Cade Mays,
they don't worry about that near as much as maybe we do as fans and prognosticators. But they look at the overall, what's going to get me to the league. Where are they going to win? How's their facilities? What about the education? All that stuff. So we're right up the top in all of that stuff now, and it's just going to keep. We're going to keep. If you just look at the model that we've seen very efficiently run at Alabama, and then Jimbo did it at Florida State, and Clemson's doing it too. I think you're going to see the same thing with us. A lot of freshmen will continue to come here knowing that they can play as freshmen.
A new guy to watch for, if it's not going to be Wright or Xavier Truss, and I'm not crossing either of those guys off necessarily, but they
did. Real quickly, tell us where those two are from so then go to that.
Okay, so you've got Darnell Wright out of the state of West Virginia. He's the number one offensive tackle in the nation, number three player overall, I believe, in the league.
He is
supposed to be visiting Georgia this summer. Tennessee, a lot of people like their chances with him. Interestingly enough, I think that's, you know, a situation where they're selling newness. It's a lot of, hey, you know, spots guaranteed for anybody at Tennessee right now.
And they can recruit.
That's right. Xavier Truss, Rivals 250 guy out of the state of Rhode Island. Bishop Hendrick. Hendricken. School, 6'7", 325. Yeah, you know, Georgia's done some great stuff up there in the Northeast
Bit. I know that Coach Pittman was there this spring because I was asking him about something, and And that's the first time I've thought about it. He said, I'm going to Rhode Island. I thought he was going up there to get some oysters or something. So he was up there. But who's the guy you think would be the next one?
I think the next guy to look for is William Harrod. He's a guy who just added an offer from Georgia 2 days ago, a guy out of the state of Maryland, National Christian Academy, four-star guy, 6'5", 305. I say that to say the offers are still going out. We may not even know who the guy is going to be. I think that Harrod's a new name to watch for you, but I don't know that necessarily the guy is already been identified. That would be my take on that.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people were saying that the recruiting's kind of slowed down here in May, and I'm trying to point out to folks we're in a completely new recruiting schedule than we've ever seen before, because right now, or at least in April, May, and June, guys are taking official visits. This is the first time they've ever been able to take official visits that weren't in, September 1st.
That's a good point.
So it's a completely new scenario, and I think a lot of these kids are kind of feeling it out. I think the coaches are feeling
coaches
it out.
Coaches, too. You know, saw that. You've seen all these tweets of these kids showing pictures with Kirby and Mel Tucker and all that. We're here this weekend. And, occasionally some of the guys I used to know will come through town and they'll come by to see me and all that. And I said, hey, it's tough. They say it's a tough time of year, being on the road, all that. And I said, yeah. So at least you get to go home on the weekends. He said, that's worse when you go home on the weekends. We got official visits. We got unofficial visits. We got all this. He said, I get in like Friday at 5 o'clock and then I'm over there the rest of the week, which he's not griping about it, but both of them said the same thing. The time frame now is just – the hammer's down. You better get them in there now.
The acceleration has been huge, absolutely.
And we're seeing commitments, not to Georgia right now, but there are a lot of big names that are taking commitments. Mm-hmm. It seems about every day a new guy goes off the board.
Sure.
So the Georgia fans would think that this is a slow time of year. That's just because they're not coming to your place. But this past weekend, Georgia hosted a ton of top recruits.
Yeah, let's see. I'll run through the list real quick. Jermaine Johnson, who we had a big story with, gave us a ton of intel.
27 cents a day. 27 cents a day.
Jamie Robinson was here out of Crisp County.
Big.
John Reese Plumley, a quarterback out of the state of Mississippi.
Big.
You had Nolan Smith, who is a guy who is right on that four-star cusp right now. I think he's going to make it into five before all said and done. Let's see. Who else?
Some wide receiver named Jaden.
Jaden Hazelwood was hanging around. C.J. Clark was up here. Andrew Booth was in town.
Huge.
Yeah,
huge.
I mean, so it was a big weekend, and one of the things that I appreciated from that was that we talked to Jermaine Johnson and he said, we really didn't spend that much time on football. They didn't weigh me in. They didn't measure me this time. He said, he said, I met Coach Lanning's family.
Big.
Yeah, right. I think he walked in and they were like, that'll do.
Big.
But he met Coach Lanning's family, hung out with Kirby Smart a little bit, had a chance to run around with Nolan Smith a little bit, hang out with Robert Beal and Kobe Wyatt. I think that all of that kind of low-stress atmosphere is what we're seeing more of. It's almost like a select visitors weekend. They can't do such a thing technically, but, people are finding ways. Hey, let's just all happen to get into town this time.
Can't beat that, too, for
that's right.
The collective grouping of interchanging ideas. But, something about maybe some kid will bring up to another one about what he likes about Georgia that the other guy might have never thought about.
Sure.
He sees the camaraderie that everybody has, and the best recruiters you got are the guys that are on your team.
Yes.
Because they're going to tell whoever's coming in to visit exactly how it is, And you add those guys plus the ones that are coming here, and, I've seen on your website people saying, well, I'm not going to try to convince somebody to go somewhere. I'm really. I think Hazelwood said that. Hey, I'm not the guy that's doing it, but I'm going to go based on what I want to do, and I want nobody's going to influence me like that. So, but sometimes kids are very easily influenced like that. But like we say, the G is powerful, but also being up there on the higher echelon of teams is powerful too. And if you look at the way the rest of the league is set and all, I mean, people are. We're using it against us a couple years ago. Hey, why you want to go to Georgia? You're not going to win on a level. Hey, you got a new coach. Well, now the same thing's going about these other places. People are using that against them. So we'll just have to see. But
And I also like the fact that Georgia, like you said, it wasn't so much a camp series, you know. Georgia's got camps coming up in June. They'll work out a lot of guys that have a – I call it a contingency offer. Georgia's right. offered this guy, but they really want them to come to camp. They want to see him throw, want to see him run, want to see him jump, you know, measure him, weigh him, put him through the drill, put him – grind him a little bit, yep. you know. Say, hey, you're going to do reps, and we're going to see how far you can go. but when you have those top talents who don't need to camp, you know you want them, everybody wants them. I noticed that – was it maybe 4 or 5 years ago? And my thought was Auburn did it, but it could have been Florida. But somebody basically said, look, we're going to have a cookout. You know, for years we've always had the Friday Night Lights or Big Cat Weekend or Dog Night, you know, and they said, well, we're just going to have a big barbecue.
Dan Mullen did that actually this past weekend at Florida.
Yeah, and I think it's like
– so did Bruce Pearl. He didn't tell anybody, though. I had to say that. That's
well, well done. Well done. To that point, you know, I like the fact that if you get these guys together, because what do they want to do? They don't want to come. Jaden Hazelwood doesn't want to come up here and catch passes for Georgia. You know, he doesn't want to go out to camp. He doesn't, yeah. And he doesn't need to. Now, there's some other guys you need to.
Sure.
You
know?
The kid I had a story on the other day, Josh Downs, 5'10 wide receiver, 2020. He needs to come up, and Georgia needs to put him through his paces, and, you know, then they might get an offer from them.
Well, here's the other thing that's very pertinent there. If I'm looking at a school and I'm a pretty good player, say a five-star, a great player, I want to know who's going to be playing with me besides who's coaching me.
And what's going to be like while you're there? Y'all are all sitting around having a barbecue?
If you're sitting around talking and you got Hazelwood, one of the best players in the country, and then you walk in the training room and you see Zamir White and you see Wilson, you see Mays, and you talk to these guys around the campus – there's got to be – all these people couldn't be lunatics. I mean, they're coming here for a certain reason.
I don't know. That's what they say about us at UGA right. Sports. But
I'm, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just – it's a Pied Piper effect.
Absolutely. Chuck Ward, our good friend, points out John Emery and N'Kobe Dean were also here this past weekend. Yeah, it was a lot of them. We got another question here that says, is there a reason why Auburn is having so much recruiting momentum in Georgia? Isn't Gus Malzahn on the hot seat? I kind of wanted to check out what they were talking about necessarily. I think of the four players that are committed to Auburn currently from the state of Georgia, I think Georgia would have accepted the commitment from one of those players,
correct.
And that is Owen Papo. Tyler Fromm, no offer, not going to get it. That's just – they've got their tight end for this class. Jalen Simpson, things were hot and heavy with him, kind of out the gate, faded over time, has been kind of – dead for a while. Ja'Kai Clark, another guy they didn't really recruit out of Grayson High School. So, I mean, they've got a little bit of – I mean, I guess they've come in and they've gotten some guys out of the state of Georgia, but it's not guys that necessarily were strikes against Georgia other than Papo.
And they're going to have to fight day in and day out to keep Owen Papo because Georgia's not going to let go of him. And I think Georgia's probably – they should go after that guy.
I agree, yeah. George Pickens, yeah, I would probably do that as well. Yeah, he's a tremendous, tremendous player. So, you know, there's a lot of – like I said, there's some time here. Let's see. Okay. Jason Kennebrew says, okay, give us a ballpark. How many 5-stars do you think we finish with in this class? Over, under 4.
I'd say 4 on the money.
Yeah, I say push. Yeah, yeah. I give it.
How many do we have at this present time?
Currently, you have 1, and that is Jaden Hazelwood. But however, you have Nolan Smith, who is like knocking on the door. He's right there, and he will get there. I think. You've got Dominic Blaylock, who's knocking on the door, and you know, I mean, Tresman Marshall, William Norton, they're. Bill Norton, these guys are all 4-stars. It should be noted, and I've seen a couple of people point this out, and I hope people don't overlook this. Georgia does not have the number one ranked class in America in terms of points. We assign points for each commitment. However, if you look, Georgia does have, by a pretty strong margin, the highest star average of any team in the nation. I think they're at like 4.13 right now.
That's disgusting.
That's an average. They're averaging.
That's
4 stars for their commitments.
Nuts.
So I think that don't lose that. Don't lose that. I think that, I'd give it, I'd say 4.
I think there's one more out there. You know, if you can get two of your
so
guys,
you guys are saying on, you're saying four.
And somebody says, they point out, hey, we currently have 3 5-stars if you go by the composite rankings. We go by Rivals.com yeah. rankings. That's why we do it that way.
I would say over.
Okay. There you go.
All right.
Coach says over. Ab Hardy. Mark him down.
Coming in with another 5-star question. I think this one will probably be the one to kind of take us out for this weekend or this week, this week's edition. He says, when the freshman report?
Yeah, that's actually one first thing I was going to mention to the coach. They report the end of this week, don't they? The
29th, I think. What's the day? 22nd.
Today's the 22nd. So
a week from today, next Monday or something.
Yeah. All right.
And I remember Coach said he's going to somehow have a flat tire or something over there by the athletic department on that day, so he can just happen to be in the building.
Yes,
I'm going to give you the infiltration mode.
There's no one more stealth than Jim Donnan in Athens.
He's also a ninja. Yeah. So he didn't know this. You know.
No, I mean, I feel very comfortable over there, and I'm not going over there to. I mean,
gawk.
I mean, I'm just going over there to check out and see how Kirby's doing.
Tell me this, Coach.
How's it going, Kirby?
When these guys get on campus, when they arrive, you know, what are some of the first things that you kind of tackle with them? What are some of the things you kind of sit down and go through? It's a huge experience for them, big life shift. How do you kind of help them through that process?
Well, you have a situation where it's all organized. The difference now is I used to come in and have to take the physicals and do all that. First thing, you know, but now they come in to prior to coming in and checking in, they come in at G day or sometime and get all that out of the way. So mostly the orientation is a little bit of a academic profile where you would have the academic people talk to the parents about what's going to happen with them over the summer. Then you'll have you know, I never had the situation where you had them in the summer. They always coming in the fall. Oh, but right. We'd have ticket guy talk to them about how you handle tickets and all that. And then, but as negative it is, it's really positive. You also have people from law enforcement talk to them about the local situation here, being an athlete. You have somebody talk about the drug testing. You talk about, you know, social issues. And you also it's a good orientation, though. I mean, you want to make sure that everybody's on the same page, and then each position coach will get up and talk a little bit about a few things. But you want to just want to make sure that those parents leave, which is the toughest tail light that a kid will ever see yeah. when they're driving out of town the first time, because your mom and daddy are leaving you. You want them to leave there with a really good feeling that you got they're in good hands. Which they feel like that having signed here, but I think it's just reassuring that first day and a half to have a really good deal about explaining to them if your son gets hurt, this is the protocol. I mean, Ron Corson's going to let you know where you don't read about it on the dog vent, or you know what I'm saying?
Maybe not,
but
we're going to try to beat Ron.
but I'm saying though, it's reassuring though to know talk about. All those different things, nutrition, where they're going to eat, all those things. So it's a big deal there that first day, because first impressions are big.
What's the hardest transition for these kids, though? I mean, they leave from their parents' house. They're living away from home. That's a big transition. Their academics change. That's a big transition. Their athletics change. That's a big transition. Socially, now they're surrounded by peers. Now, I mean, they're in that fishbowl. Now, they were big in high school. Now, they're not
quite.
Lack
of parental control, too. I mean, it's the same problem for every student that comes off the campus the first semester.
Well, what have you seen
for
in your years?
Time,
you did this
you don't have anybody telling you what to do as a normal student, whereas for a athlete, you got somebody that – a lot of checkpoint Charlies, you know what I mean? You got guys checking everything, you know. Where they're if they're missing breakfast, if they're missing appointments for tutors, if they're missing weights, all that stuff. And the good teams don't have people missing, and the seniors and juniors teach you that, you know, hey, you're expected to be here, you do all that stuff. But I would say, just in order, you know, homesickness is something that really is helped by the fact they can come here for 2 months and still go home some between August and when practice starts as compared to that first August when they used to get here. The first time they could go home was maybe right before the bowl.
Yeah,
and
Christmas, Thanksgiving.
See all these other kids going home on the weekends. And it's not so much that you can't, that you don't get to go home. It's just the fact you can't. You know, hey, well, that's one thing. But the biggest deal is just the athletic, to me, going from the big fish to the little fish a little bit.
And
all of a sudden it's overwhelming to try to project yourself. If you're not a really good chance of playing your first year and the coaches are bringing you in with the idea you're going to develop, and then looking at guys and saying, hey, in the world am I ever going to be this? But, you know, you always get those guys to say to them, look, I was a freshman at that one point. And one thing I did that I felt was good is we used to take pictures of kids when they first got here, and then every 6 months we'd take them to show their evolution in the weight room and all that. And we always showed those pictures to those big old kids that everybody thought, hey, how are we going to catch up with them? We showed them what they look like as freshmen.
Sure.
So that was really important to them. Hey, this guy didn't come here looking like that. And that's what you got to do, you know. So, but then you always dealing with the negative people around your base that are saying, hey, you're not getting a chance. How are you going to play and all that? Well, there's going to be people at home when you don't play that first year. They're going to be – I'm not talking about in their family, but around town.
The entourage, yeah, exactly.
So I would just say the athletic, the biggest jump is just – the way you practice, the people you're going against, that's the number one difference.
Gotcha. That makes sense. And that's why we have Coach Don on the show. I mean, I would have guessed something completely different. I would have been completely wrong, as usual.
What would you say? You might be right.
I was thinking it was the academics.
Well,
you know, I that was my thought when you.
That's probably, though, a bit more individualized, I think, as
that's
opposed
fair.
To what Coach is talking
the
about.
The academics is going to be different.
For me, it was hard.
I'm gonna give you a little love on that. The academics in the fall will be the biggest thing because now they're having to go to school and play and practice. But in the summer, they can really focus on academics because they don't have a game, they don't have practice. They got workouts. But but it's a real. A lot of difference between taking 6 hours and taking 15.
Right.
No doubt.
That was my thought.
No doubt.
And 15 minus 6, 9. I mean, it's three courses.
Thanks. And he also does math, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway.
But anyhow, are we going to get to tell the Mark Mangino?
I think we should. So, Kansas, we're going to wrap up on this one. Kansas just lost their AD. And, Coach, I believe you
Kansas finally let this guy's Zinger or whatever his name go. I mean, they've done really well in basketball, but their football team's 3-33 under the new coach. David Bailey, who's a good coach, but it's just a tough situation for him. But, you know, Mark Mangino had it humming out there.
No question. I mean, took him to the Orange Bowl.
They went to the Orange Bowl and were very competitive. You know, he's off the Bob Stoops tree at Oklahoma and did a terrific job. But he used to recruit around Kansas City, you know, and he was a big guy. I'm talking about big. He had a ceiling, you know, when people have ceiling fans in their office. He had one of those sideline fans in his office blowing on him, you know. And – Mark would go out recruiting around Kansas City, and they got this big beltway around Kansas City, you know. And he came off the beltway and got kind of lost, and he went into this 7-Eleven, and he says, walked up to this kid, and he said, hey, he said, what's the quickest way to get to 435? He said, why don't you start eating some salads, Coach? Mark's a good guy. But that was a good Kansas joke. quickest way.
All right.
Strikes too close to home.
We'll wrap on that one. Make sure to tune in next week. We'll have a special edition because Roddy won't be here. We got Russ Tanner sitting in with us next week. Coach will be here as well. I'll be here.
It'll be a
good
show.
Roddy going to the beach, man. You got a deal down there where you're going to actually – talk to some people, right?
No, I'll actually come back, do a show, and then go back down to the beach again to talk to the Panama City Bulldog Club.
It's a tough life, man.
Well, they call it the – excuse me, it's not the Panama City Bulldog Club. It's the Emerald
Coast.
Emerald That's Coast good. Bulldog Club. We will
we
have
need to get us a road show. Take these three guys out there. We can set ourselves on fire for them.
Yeah, if you actually run, if you're a member of any of the
production,
if you're a member of any of the alumni clubs and you want to get Coach Donnan and us to come speak to your club, we'll be happy to do so. June 9th, it's the Bulldogs on the Beach Bash down in Panama City Beach with the Emerald Coast
That's
Bulldog
impressive.
Club. So we're going to meet at noon. We're going to talk football. We'll do our patented Q&A, off-the-record Q&A. It's basically we tell you anything you want to know. You just can't record it and you just can't share it. That's none of the rules. And we'll tell you anything, all the stuff that you always want to know
wow.
that went on behind the scenes, we'll tell you. But no recorders, no phones, no nothing. So we do that at every Bulldog Club meeting we speak to. Trust me, it's worth it. You'll enjoy it. Big shout-out to Thel Melton, who came out today, and Pete Wardlow, who came out today, and all the other folks here at Champions that showed up. Also, a big shout-out to Athens Ford. You need to swing out by Athens Ford this week. Their May deals are unreal, especially on those Ford F-150s. Like I said, the Raptors is great, but the Ford F-150, the number one selling truck in America, it also happens to come with a lifetime powertrain warranty. You can also get that on their used vehicles. I think I need to get a new vehicle before Thursday when I head down to Florida, so we might be checking that out. Anyway, also big shout-out to YourPi, Cable East, 365 Game Day, Champions for having us in here.
11 Alive for being
11 Alive and Academia. Remember, Thursday, get out there for the Roll Out Your Barrels event.
Wednesday, tomorrow night, Collards.
Oh, Collards. So come out here and eat Wednesday, go to the Thursday Champions. Friday afternoon, hit up YourPi. Your week is made. We set it up for you. Also, when you get a chance, swing by UGASports.com. We're going to have a lot of coverage from Hoover. We're covering the baseball team. Congratulations to them for knocking off number 6, Arkansas. I thought that was huge. I was out there for that last game. That was one of the best baseball games I've seen in years.
What a laser.
That was phenomenal. Good job, Keenan McGovern, on being named All-SEC.
Well, they play
first
tomorrow
team.
Morning, the first game winner of Vanderbilt and Texas A&M.
Yes, sir.
Sounds about right.
So, yeah, I look up and get my cue from Dave because I can't remember. Anyway, tune in next week for an actually good show. We'll see you then.
See ya.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.